Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful Sunday morning to worship our God for His grace. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, God's grace and how that gives us a good focus on what the law is all about for us. So you and I are law-based creatures. We have God's law written on our hearts. That's what our conscience reacts to. And sometimes that makes us tend towards that law. So now we're going to refocus today on Christ and what He's done to fulfill the law for us. So you'll see that reflected throughout the service. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper today, where we get to share together in Christ's body and blood in unity and fellowship. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive that, the body and blood of the Lord. If you wanted to know how you might join our fellowship, if you're not within our fellowship, please speak to one of us pastors afterwards. We'd love to talk to you about that. We're going to start with a hymn today that's going to get us off on the right foot and refocus us on what we should be focusing on. That's hymn 397, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Please note we'll sing the first two verses and the last two verses. May God bless your worship. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and He's given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
As we have received God's mercy, we now ask for his continued mercy throughout our lives. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 21. Here we see a principle laid down even in the Old Testament. There was this regulation that the bread of the presence that was brought into the tabernacle could only be eaten by priests. But here we see a priest take the proper approach to that regulation when there was somebody in need. 1 Samuel 21. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find.'" But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us, as usual, whenever I set out. The men's bodies are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. The word of the Lord. Joined together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 122.
Thank you.
That psalm honors the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And now we see that all the Sabbath days and all of those laws that God provided was all centered in one man. From Colossians chapter 2, we see, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." The word of the Lord. Verse of the day. Comes from Psalm 119, verse 105. "Alleluia, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Alleluia. The gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 2, and this will serve as the sermon text for today. From Mark chapter 2. "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 389, "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me."
Thank you.
God's peace has been won for you, brothers and sisters, 100% by Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Mark chapter 2, but let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your rest. Amen. So how's everybody feeling this morning? Nice and rested. I'm getting one of these back there. Did you get a good night's sleep last night? Am I going to find out throughout the sermon? Boy, it's one of the best things in the world, though, isn't it? A good night's sleep. Wake up feeling rested and ready for the day. They say a good night's sleep helps with memory, helps make you more efficient, helps lower your stress, helps you just generally have more energy for the day. Nothing better than after a long day at work, laying back in that bed, just resting. But what if somebody was right there next to your bed as you were sleeping at night saying, no, don't rest like that. Rest like this, and this. No, don't sleep in that position. Move your arm this way and your leg this way. No, breathe like this. No, you're doing it all wrong. You're not supposed to rest like that. You're supposed to rest like this. Rest. Come on. Rest. Would that be very restful? Would that help you get a good night's sleep? In his Old Testament times, God gave his people this thing called the Sabbath. The Sabbath means rest. It was a day that they were to rest and re-energize, refocus, not just physically, but spiritually. It was in a day that was so important for his people that he made it a commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But the teachers of the law and the Pharisees took that day of rest and turned it into something that was pretty much the opposite. So Jesus gets the opportunity to show them what the Sabbath rest was all about. And as he does, it's a good reminder for us too. Jesus versus the Pharisees. We see that a lot in the Gospels. We see it even more than the Warriors versus the Cavs these days. Jesus versus the Pharisees, the rivalry that the Pharisees themselves had created. Jesus was trying to teach them. They didn't want to listen. They didn't think they needed to listen. They thought, well, we've been trained up for so many years in the Old Testament laws. We know them like the back of our hand. Even all of the extra laws that our fathers have written to keep us on that path of righteousness, we keep those perfectly. We don't need to listen to Jesus. They thought that all of these extra laws that they had created had somehow made them all stars. They were the champions of God's holiness, especially when it came to that one day. Sabbath. That was a huge thing for the Jews. There were two things that set the Jews apart from all the other religions back in that day. Circumcision and the Sabbath. God said, keep the Sabbath day holy, so that's what the Pharisees were going to do. Sabbath means rest. That means that they were going to emphasize two big words in all caps. No work. And so they helped the people with this too by classifying 39 different types of work and even subclassifications that helped apply it for the people. Here are some examples of things that were work and that were prohibited on the Sabbath day. There was no helping an animal that was giving birth. There was no saving an animal that had fallen into a pit. No traveling more than 800 meters. That's about half a mile. No carrying children on the Sabbath. If the roof of your house caved in, well, you could prop it up, but there was no fixing it. And if it caved in on somebody, you could only move as much as you needed to check to see, are they dead or alive? Okay, they're alive, then I can rescue them. But if they were dead, I had to leave them until the next day. No setting a dislocated foot or hand on the Sabbath. Those poor people. No tying or loosening knots, sewing more than one stitch, writing more than one letter. Rest! Come on, rest! Like this. No, not like that, and that, no, like this, and this. Their law-motivated hearts had turned a day of rest into a burden. They had taken something filled with God's gospel love, and they made it all law motivation. That's like laying down in a memory foam mattress and then putting a whole bunch of thumbtacks all around you so that you didn't fall off the mattress, you had stayed on the middle of it. Oh boy, don't make sure not to roll over. Ouch. Right? But they thought they were doing what they could do to keep that Sabbath day holy. They thought they were keeping themselves on that path. They thought their holiness was undeniable. And then along comes this man named Jesus. Performs all of these miracles. The people love him. They love his teachings. He even dares to criticize their teachings. So they had to find a way to take him down a notch. Well, one Sabbath, they thought they had it. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along. They began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? What kind of teacher are you, Jesus? Your disciples don't even know about the Sabbath laws. Look, they're picking the heads of grain. That is technically threshing and harvesting, and that is not allowed on the Sabbath." They were so focused on these little laws they had created that they totally missed out on that gospel love they could show to somebody who was in need and hungry. They had completely missed the point of the Sabbath and all of God's laws, really. They missed out on not just what it was about, but who it was all about. Can you believe they did that with something as great as the Sabbath day? The Sabbath rest that God had intended, and they take it and make it into a burden? Yikes. That'd be like taking something as re-energizing and refocusing as the gospel and making it seem like a chore. We don't do that. I see the Bible on my bookshelf. It's right there. It's right there on my phone or my tablet. I swipe by it every day. Okay, fine. I'll read the Bible. Get my conscience off my back. When did we take the words of everlasting life and to make them into something so burdensome for us sometimes? Or these are my requirements for a good Bible study or I will not enjoy it. It must be on this topic, it must have this format, it must have this type of question, and this type of question, and this type of question. This sermon better be a good one or this worship service will not have been worth it. I better hear my favorite hymn in this worship service or I'm going to be so angry. When did we make the restfulness of taking in and praising out the gospel and make it something and where we put a whole bunch of thumbtacks around us in the church pews? Or, I suppose I can give this much for gospel ministry in my offering. Suppose I can do this good thing or nice thing for this person. When did we take the joyful things that God gives us to do on this earth and make them into such toilsome labor? And what inevitably happens when you do that, when you have that law motivation, when you focus on the I shoulds and the requirement checklists? What inevitably happens when you focus on that more and more? You stop doing it, don't you? You stop doing the Bible study. You stop doing the worship. You stop doing the devotions and giving and all the good works that flow from it. You stop doing it. Why? Because you made it into a work, not rest. You made it into a burden, not a comfort. You made it into a chore, not a joy. And if you keep doing those things with that law of motivation, well, then what does that inevitably lead to? I'm one of God's all-stars. Leads to that, I'm going to give myself a gold star. I'm going to pat myself on the back. Leads to holier-than-thou attitudes, or even attitudes of, yeah, get them, pastor. They really need to work on that. We all lose focus on what that Sabbath rest in the gospel is all about. But not only do we lose focus on what it's all about, but who it's all about. The Pharisees were doing that too. So Jesus gets an opportunity to show them. And to do that, he uses kind of an obscure story in the Old Testament, but one that they should have known with all of their vast learning. And it was about a man that they treasured, King David. Jesus says to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." So it's the first lesson that we looked at for today. And the reason it was the first lesson is because it sets down a principle that Jesus essentially is saying applies here for the Pharisees. Jesus' point boils down to this. David and his companions were hungry and in need. The only food available was the consecrated bread that only priests could eat. But one priest recognized the whole point of the law is love and to protect human life and those in need. So he gave them that bread. In the disciples' case, the disciples were hungry and in need. The only food available to them was the grain along the road. So what should the Pharisees have done with that principle? They should have recognized what the Sabbath day was all about. They should have recognized that it was a day of rest to help refocus people. God's laws were all meant to protect and guide and care for people. But they missed that. But Jesus takes it even a step further, because while they were missing the point of the laws, they were missing really the point of all of Scripture together. And so that's why Jesus says next, "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." If David, that beloved king, can set aside a divine regulation for the sake of human need, so can David's son and David's Lord, the promised Messiah, the prophesied Son of Man, because all of it was centered in him. Why do you think God gave the Sabbath day? It wasn't just for physical rest, it was for spiritual rest and re-energizing. It was that spiritual rest that all pointed forward to Christ. All of those laws were a shadow of the things that were to come, as Paul says in our second lesson. All of that Sabbath rest was the one that Jesus would win. And if you think that a good night's rest is good rest now, oh, the Sabbath rest that Jesus won for us is so much better. He gives that to us now and into eternity. We burden ourselves with this weight. But the Son of God in heaven became the Son of Man. And he said, "Brother, sister, just rest. I've got this." He lifted that burden and put it on himself. We steal all of our comfort with these I shoulds and checklists, but Jesus takes away them and puts his own checklist in its place. He says, "I'm going to be this kind of Savior, and I'm going to love in this way and that way. I'm going to say these words. I'm going to fulfill this commandment and this commandment and this commandment and that one and that one and that one for you." And then in his life, it was check, 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 check. And then he made the biggest check mark of all. The sins that and the burdens that steal our rest, that might keep us up at night, that nag us in the back of our minds throughout the day, those mistakes that we work really hard to try to ignore. Paul says in our second lesson, He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Our burden is lifted. The law fulfilled, all the times we broke it, paid. For us now, it's just kind of like the Pharisees, where it's no work. Or at least what's better is one of those words we can change. His work. His work is our rest. So now we rest. Now we get to recognize that the law has already been fulfilled. So we just enjoy our Savior. All of those I shoulds and checklists, we get rid of those and look at all of those Bible studies, worships, devotions, and the good works and the gifts that flow from it, the way that God intended us to look at them. I get to. There's no law motivation there, because there's no law of motivation where we recognize that the law has already been fulfilled. The burden is gone. No need to put it back on ourselves. It's like Christ bought us with his work the memory foam mattress of memory foam mattresses. So now we throw away those thumbtacks and we just rest. Those silly Pharisees, if they had only known the rest that they were missing out on. Oh, the greatest night's sleep ever. But we know it. Thanks to Jesus, we have it. We find rest in his work. Amen. Please stand. May the restful peace that Jesus won be with you now and into eternity. Amen. We now confess our faith in the rest that Jesus won for us according to the words of a creed that's over 1,600 years old called the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for your thank offerings. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Andrea Luck-Lean, Terry Jackson, among others. We pray for all of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. We pray the prayer of the church. I will say it on our behalf, and then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray. All-sufficient Savior, we thank you for your work. Continue to give us rest and comfort in your work. Help us drive out anything that might try to rob us of that rest. All-powerful and all-loving God, we thank you for comforting those who are sick and suffering. If it is your will, fully heal them and take away their pain. If it is not your will, strengthen their faith so that they may see your loving hand even in the midst of their discomfort. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people. Give them a strong faith in you and a rich love for each other. Maker and preserver, we thank you for blessing all of those who are celebrating birthdays. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of their rebirth in the Spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Boy, it just gets in your mind. Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and
praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he broke it, when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you. Always.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. May be seated for our closing hymn, number 326, May the Grace of Christ Our Savior. Good morning. It's a pleasure worshiping with you again this morning. A few announcements for you. New Bible studies start this week, start today. The Gospel of Mark will be here in the sanctuary. We'll also be starting the Bible information class. That's a new member class called Foundations. That'll be in the chapel, starting here at 9:30. There's a voters meeting today after the second service. A couple of things that will be covered will be the budget, the financial plan for this coming year, as well as the election of board chairman, I believe. This Tuesday, we will have our very first Mornings with Mommy session, so keep that in your prayers. And again, if you're interested in whether helping out or being a part of that, register for that online. A farewell gathering for the Bowers will be next Sunday at 4 p.m. If you could, there's a sign-up. Please sign up for that, and if you could bring a dish, that'd be great. And one more announcement, the 20s, 30s Connect group is going to have a beach day. That's June 23rd. If you have any interest in that, if you are in your 20s or 30s, see Lisa Duchesne for that Connect group event. That's all I've got for you. May God bless you this week with his rest, and may give you good night's rest as well. Please stick around to greet one another.